There are three aspects in this universe about which we should have a clear-cut conception. The three words are, one, the life principle, the second, matter principle, the third, consciousness principle. Pay attention to the words principle that I am using. Principle is the essence out of which that particular energy, life, physical matter and consciousness develop. This particular aspect of principle is what in Indian literature is called as the tattva. Jala means water. Jala tattva means the principle of water, the characteristics of water. Prithvi tattva is the solid physical substance we see. But Prithvi Tattva is the principle out of which this matter evolves. Akasha Tattva is not the space, but the principle out of which the space comes out. This particular understanding must be very, very clear when we want to understand the power of Kundalini, which is now going to be discovered by scientific studies also. Just as the scientists say, through their own experiences and lot of experiments, that matter and energy are one and the same. Matter is one extreme, and energy is the other extreme, and it is Einstein who proved it by his famous mass energy equivalence principle, E is equal to mc squared. For our purposes, we define three principal aspects as the sattva-guna, the tamo-guna, and rajo-guna is the interaction between these two. So essentially, the entire universe is formed by two facts, two principles, the energy principle and the matter principle. And when energy interacts with matter, or when energy descends into matter, it evolves it through various stages of consciousness to reach, to merge, to be unified again into the energy aspect, with the special difference that when the energy has descended into matter, it was neutral. It has no experiences. But when the matter again evolves through various stages of consciousness and again becomes the energy principle, in that energy principle we have the previous energy principle without any attributes to so many characteristic principles that are inherent in its consciousness by its experiences as matter. I hope you understand what I am trying to convey. The entire process of the universe is energy descending into matter and again going back to its source with various experiences. So these three principles in our ancient Hindu literature as known as the Moola Prakriti, the fundamental cause of matter, which scientists have now understood through their researches in quantum physics and chemistry. According to them, the whole universe is full of various energy vibrations. And these energy vibrations, through so many interactions in high temperature zones, combine with each other, making protons, electrons, neutrons, and other subatomic particles, which they have already counted up to 128 or more. These energy particles are what in our yogic literature is known as Moola Prakriti. And this Moola Prakriti has descended into matter, forming the 92 elements. And by the law of the indestructibility of matter, we know that matter can neither be destroyed nor created. It can only have various permutations and combinations. In the same way, we have the indestructibility of energy. Energy can neither be created nor destroyed. What we can do is we can transform it to another type of energy. These basics we should always keep in our mind. The yogic scientists have followed a very peculiar way of thinking, which the modern thinkers, psychologists, and various other psychosomatic experience of medicine has proved that man can think in two ways. One is the logical way of thinking, which goes step by step, and the other is an intuitive thinking, which takes up the problem and solves it immediately without no step by step processes. The logical process is known as the left brain, and the intuitive process is known as the right brain. So what people generally call it unconscious mind is actually the right brain. It is the unconscious brain which we are not aware of, which we have not trained, helps us in so many emergency situations, of which we know so many proofs. And generally when someone asks them, how did you solve it? He says, it just happened, it is in my gut, it is in my emotions. He just can't explain it because intuitive thinking is non-verbal. It does not use words. Its use mainly is the geometrical aspect, the symmetry and unsymmetrical aspect, or the pictorial way of understanding things. That in that particular picture forming language, we find suddenly that time vanishes. For example, in dreams, you may dream a very, 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 very long dream, probably spanning centuries sometimes. But when you get up, you find that the wakeful consciousness has only covered 5 minutes or so. Try to understand this peculiar sense in dreams. You dream something which you find is a very, very long time. You dream in pictures. But when you get up, the time that is passed is only a few, is what we pray when we pray to the God, to the Guru, Akhanda Mandala Karam, Vyaptam Yena Characharam, Yat Padam Darshitam Yena, Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah. So it is the padam, the state, the level where time vanishes, space vanishes. We dream so many things, so many big, big things, the Himalayas, the oceans, the galaxies you may be dreaming. But where are they? The space is not there. The time is not there. Only the pictorial representation of the space and time is in your right brain, the intuitive brain. In the logical brain, even a small thing needs various steps to analyze. But in intuitive brain, there are no steps. There is the problem and then there is the solution. The scientists have discovered that when they go on experimenting with the 5 senses in a particular direction, they are sure to get a result. They are certain about it. For example, when one is properly trained in biochemistry, zoology, medicine, and when he asks for you to fund a research on cancer, we are ready to give it. There are so many cancer institutes who are trying to get a medicine for cancer. And what all they are doing? They are doing their 5 senses tuned with a particular orientation of experimentation, step by step, removing unnecessary details and trying to orient themselves to the correct way. But we are sure that if not now, after a few years, we are sure to get the medicine for cancer. Why that certainty? Because we know that when the logical left brain stepwise experimentation leads the researcher to a steady state of intuitive mind where suddenly the result dawns on him, he gets light on it. That is how the various discoveries in science have been done. Logical steps, left brain steps, space-time continuum step, forcing through the link what is known as corpus callosum in medical terminology, the bridge between the left and right hemispheres. And when these logical data pushes through the bridge that connects the left and brain, left and right hemispheres, suddenly the right hemisphere becomes active and the result is shown. So this is what is meant by the Ardhanarishvara principle, or when we see Sita and Rama, Radha and Krishna, or the various Devi Devatas as the male and female principle, the left principle, the right principle, or the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere going together. In the left hemisphere there is darkness. You don't know the solution. That is what we mean by darkness. In the right hemisphere you have light, knowledge, where you understand very clearly the principle shown to you as a picture. With this background of logical thinking and intuitional thinking, let us understand the processes of evolution. Right from the Big Bang, in the starting of the universe, the Mula Prakriti, the matter principle, through various processes which science has formulated, have evolved the sun and the planets. The sun and the planets are the combination in various proportions and links and unions of the Mula Prakriti principle. So this is one aspect, Mula Prakriti. And now you have the energy aspect through which the Mula Prakriti comes out. That is what is known as the life. And when these two interact, when life and Mula Prakriti, energy and matter interact, we understand what is known as consciousness. Now, one of the fundamental mistakes we do in spiritualism is we identify a consciousness with a physical body. But we know that the physical body is not the consciousness. I am not talking about the life, I am talking about the consciousness. Now, when you become a chemist, you have studied under a chemist. And all the chemistry was taught by various scientists like Lavoisier, Priestley. But when you say Lavoisier or Priestley, or when you say Newton, you are sure that you are not talking about the man, the human body in which that consciousness exists. We are talking about the consciousness. And that consciousness has experienced certain laws of nature, formulated them, and how to apply it under their own space-time continuum is what we mean by Newton's laws. When you say Newton's laws, we are not talking about Newton. We are talking about that particular consciousness which was embodied in Newton, who discovered the principles of gravitation and the other principles dealing with light, mathematical formulations of calculus, etc. You try to understand what I am trying to convey. When in science we talk about scientists, we are not talking about the man. We are talking about the consciousness. And we are very sure of how that particular consciousness has interpreted certain laws of nature, certain laws of energy. But when we come to the spiritual aspect, unfortunately, we don't understand what that particular guru consciousness has evolved certain laws of energy principles which can be handled through consciousness and not through matter. You try to understand this difference, what I am trying to present to you. The physicists and the scientists, or material scientists, they talk about the interaction of matter with matter, using some heat energy or light energy or gravitational energy or whatever energy they want, but their particular orientation is to understand how the matter changes its form so that we can utilize that principle for our own purposes. But when we come to the gurus, the philosophers, the metaphysicians, it is not matter that they are worried about. It is the effect of consciousness of matter, the effect of intelligence on matter, or in another way, the effect of thought on matter. So this is the fundamental difference between material scientists and the philosophers. The philosophers are interested in the effect of thought on matter, especially when they are able to understand that thought can completely transform the matter into any form. And they go to the extent, and with confidence they say that if you know the proper way of thinking, if you can revolutionize your thought, the earth can become heaven. And mind you, it is not an utopia. It is not just a wish, but it is as scientific as any other physical scientific rules are. That is what Sri Aurobindo stressed in his Synthesis of Yoga, that mind power is as good as any energy that the material scientists use, like heat, magnetism, electricity, light and other energies. Similarly, the energy of consciousness is capable to be formulated into certain very specific, rigorous scientific laws, where those laws can be utilized to make the process of evolution much speedier. Till now, the planet Earth has evolved so many species, and out of those species, human being is supposed to be the grandest of them all, because he has that particular mind capacity, intellect, which can be utilized to convert matter. If you can expect and accept that out of matter mind has evolved, certainly Sri Aurobindo says that out of mind, the supermind will be the next destination. What he means by supermind is the right brain thinking, the intuitive thinking, where the solution is readily available for any problem. So for all these problems which humanity is facing, whether they are the environmental problem, the population problem, the financial problem, or any other problems, even including the problem of terrorism, can have and can be solved with one-step solution if we can train our youth and people into the utilization of this intuitive mind. This intuitive mind and the energy which can develop the intuitive mind is what is termed as Kundalini. So we have the three principles, the Mula Prakriti, matter evolving into a human being. Each cell in the human being is nothing but one of those three fundamental elements, carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, and traces of all other elements. So this is the Mula Prakriti part, the Sthula Sharira. And then we have the light energy principle, where light is equivalent to knowledge, that being equivalent to mind, which is trapped into the human body. Every human body has got its own light, the mind. And this mind, this light, when its working principles are known, in our Hindu literature it is known as Devata. So a mind which knows its full potential is a Devata. And the mind which does not know its full potential is a human being. That is the difference between the man and the Devata. And they are both together in the same body. Now, through Kundalini, the mind in the same body, which has the logical thinking and intuitive compartments as different, and the modern times are fully oriented towards the left side brain. They want everything logical. And if you want everything to be logical, naturally you cannot intuit. And if you can't intuit, you can't know anything which the left brain cannot know by its rigorous so-called logical stepwise thinking. And now what we have to do now? We have to shift our polarity from left to the right. This left-right polarity in the Kundalini Yoga is known as the Ida and the Pingala. The Pingala is the active principle. The Ida is the intuitive principle. Now, the yogic scientists say that Pingala is in the right nose and Ida is in the left nose. Naturally, the right nose is controlled, as the scientists know, by the left hemisphere, and the left nose is controlled by the right hemisphere, and the right nose is controlled by the left hemisphere. The left dominates the right part of the body. The left dominates the right part of the body, and the right dominates the left part of the body. This is where the Ida and Pingala have to be understood as the left and the right principles in the body. They are also known as the Ganga and Yamuna principles of the body. So these are the various names that are given to the mind. And unfortunately, many people want to think Kundalini as something situated in the backbone. It is trash. It is not situated in the backbone. Just as the mind which thinks whether as the logical brain or the right brain, the brain only is the karmendriya of the mind. And karmendriya and jnanendriya together make a composite whole. So mind is the jnanendriya, and the left and right Ida and Pingala are the karmendriyas of mind. So this must be very clearly understood, that when you are trying to capture Kundalini, when you are trying to harness the power of Kundalini, it has nothing to do with your body. Just as if you want to become an engineer, there is nothing to do with your body. It is the knowledge of the engineer which makes its body to use it as an engineer. When a surgeon operates, it is not the body that is important. It is the intellect, the mind, the light that is present in him as a doctor, which utilizes the body. So the effects of Kundalini naturally will be experienced and are shown through the utilization of the physical body. But the knowledge of Kundalini, the rising of the power of Kundalini, has nothing to do with your physical body. This is first what you should understand. And then any knowledge, as you know, is always conveyed by words and pictures. Any knowledge you want to understand is always associated with a name and a form. That is what our scientists, yogic scientists, say as Nama and Rupa. Whenever there is a name, there is a form associated with it. Can you think of any particular word which you cannot associate with a figure? When you say a word pen, your own picture of pen comes. And those pictures may vary. That is why they say, akhanda mandala karam vyaptam yena characharam. Every form in nature has a name, and every name has different forms. You understand the statement very clearly. I say every form has a name. And every name has a form. But the peculiarity is, the name is very hypothetical, all-sweeping, all-engrossing. When I say cow, all the cows are included in it. When I say ant, all the ants are included in it. So, the name may be one, but the forms may differ. The different forms, you can take it as the left-sided orientation, and the one word as the right-sided orientation. And this combining of Nama and Rupa naturally leads us to another equation, which is known as gunas, the characteristics. And now, a word gives you only the characteristics. When I say Tommy, I'm talking about my dog. But dog has a general characteristic sweeping qualification. The name dog not only includes my dog Tommy, but all the past, present and future dogs. So this particular combination of words are utilized in formulating the 108 names of any consciousness procedure. And when I say the consciousness procedure, I mean that when you use these 108 names of a particular consciousness, you become that consciousness. When I say 108 names of Krishna, I should become one with Krishna consciousness. That is what we mean by the realization of the Devata. And when I say Rama, I should become the Rama consciousness. And now this particular difference in the word and consciousness you should remember. When we say Rama, especially the Indians, the Hindus who love Rama, they don't talk about the Rama consciousness. They are talking about the son of Dasharatha. That is limited. The name Rama is not limited to the son of Dasharatha. But it means to convey to the chanter of that mantra, and mantra means one who repeats, manana, thinks, and tries to understand the depth of the consciousness that name has. Just as when we say an electrical engineer, we know he knows everything about electricity. When we say a cardiologist, it means we know everything about the heart. Do we, when we chant these 108 names of a particular devata, even ever think about the consciousness aspect? So this is what first you have to correct. And now many people may think, and many people have asked me, why in 108 names of Parampuja Gurudev, when there are so many gods and goddesses already present? No one asks, why should you try to understand a new theory in science? We feel proud to know a new theory in science. We don't stop at Newton. We now call it as Einstein. The theory of physics that Einstein has put forward is much different from what Newton has put forward. And we all accept and pay homage and try to understand what aspects Einstein has taught. Even though Einstein himself has told that very few people have understood his theory of relativity. That the same problem comes in this field of consciousness. We don't understand the difference between the Rama consciousness, the Krishna consciousness, the Sita consciousness, the Hanuman consciousness, the Christ consciousness, the Buddha consciousness, the Mahavira consciousness, the Confucius consciousness, the Lao Tse consciousness, so on and so forth. Because we have never tried to understand that it is highly essential for you to go and behave as that particular consciousness has acted. That is why we have the 108 names. Because, as I have told you, the connection between the both hemispheres is linked with exactly 108 circuits. So each name is superimposed on a particular circuit. And when you chant the 108 names, you have the fully charged, completed circuit. And at that level, we say his kundalini has been aroused, has been awakened. Now again, let me tell you why Pujya Gurudev's 108 names are important. Because he is the epitome of all the past and the possibilities of future consciousness researches. That is where you have to understand the consciousness of Pujya Gurudev, the Sriram Sharma Acharya. I am not talking about the physical man. I am talking about the consciousness research he has done, and he has challenged his followers that I have given you a scientific regime. What does this mean? Just as in science, you say you use this formula and you get the result. Similarly, when you use the 108 names of Sriram Sharma Acharya, you know the different levels of consciousness and how to utilize it. For example, when we take the first name of Parampuja Gurudev, it has been labeled as Saubhagya Suryodaya. Whenever somebody becomes very rich, suddenly he says his sun has risen. He is the rising star. So similarly, when in the Kundalini aspect, when we want to understand the picture presentation of life, light is very essential, and light comes from sun. And when you utilize these names of Parampuja Gurudev, which are termed as the four petals of the Mooladhara Chakra, the first one is Madan Mohan Malavya Dwara Gayatri Deeksha Pundinavariki Namaskaramu. I bow down to the man who received initiation into Gayatri through Madan Mohan Malavya, his first guru of Gayatri. Now, what does this mean? It means that you have to have initiation of Gayatri through a consciousness which is akin to Madan Mohan Malavya. It is not the person who initiates you, but it is his knowledge which initiates you. You cannot be initiated to become an engineer through a doctor. And you cannot be initiated to become a doctor through an engineer. In the same way, we should understand the characteristics of Madan Mohan Malviya, who was the first university builder in India, the great Banaras Hindu University. So, a man who is really worried and wants to spread the knowledge into the world is what is meant by Madan Mohan Malviya. So you should be initiated into the Gayatri Mantra only through such a person. Luckily for us, in olden times there was no written material available, there were no tape recorders. Therefore, you have to wait for a guru who can teach you those things, because there were no books also. They were a rarity. But now you have so many books. So to be initiated by Pujya Gurudev Sri Ram Sharma Acharya, you need not have his physical presence. You can study any book of him on Gayatri and get initiated into the process of doing Gayatri. I hope now you understand how this particular name helps you. So when you are reading the books of Param Pujya Gurudev, remember you are being initiated by him through that book in that particular way of thinking which that book deals. And luckily we have 20 books now in which he has said he has condensed all the literature he has ever written. So that is the first way of dealing with the Kundalini Namas. The second one, Guru Anugrahamu Valana Janma Janmala Sambandhamu Teliskunna Vyaktiki Namaskaramu. Through the grace of the Guru, I bow down to that man who could understand the relationships between many lives. Now this is the other point which the Kundalini tells you. When you are trying to arouse your Kundalini, and mind you, when you are arousing your Kundalini, you need not perform any Mula Bandha or Uddiyana Bandha or any asanas and break your neck. Your body has nothing to do with the Kundalini. It has to do with the relationship. That is the second point. And this relationship has been beautifully explained by two great Western writers. One is, who told that? Faith is the next step of relaxation response. And another one who said and wrote about the speed of trust. So this faith is the relationship. We believe in our husband. We believe in our wives. We believe in our children. And we don't believe in the outsider. When you go on the railway platform, you see a very clear-cut board warning you not to take any eatables with unknown persons. Unknown man means with whom you have no relation. And now, this right-sided thinking, the intuitive thinking, or the Ida thinking, helps you to understand your relations not only in this physical plane matter, because the physical matter, the relationship between physical persons is only of the bodies. You call a physical body a father, a physical body a mother, a physical body a sister, a physical body as wife, and so on. But do you understand that it is not the relationship of the physical bodies, but it is the consciousness involved that is making you capable of understanding these relationships? And our ancient scriptures say that these relationships continue life after life. And this life after life relationships in Theosophical Society have been beautifully explained in the book Man, Thence and Whither. You have to go through that book to understand the relationships. And you can experiment on those ways of developing relationships through the use of those books. But what I want you to understand is that every guru worth his salt, every guru who was very clear about his consciousness development, has always said the guru-sishya relationship is much more longer, stronger and binding than mother-father relationship. That is why the first relationship in consciousness is with the mother and father, and then the next relationship is with your guru. And you try to understand, when I am talking about a guru, I am not talking about a specific physical living guru, but I am talking about the consciousness level, energy, clear-cut explainer who explains you your consciousness energy. And once you understand the consciousness energy, and remember I am using both the words knowingly together. Consciousness is a type of energy which is evolving. And energy is that energy which is not evolving but has a certain specific set of rules. For example, electrical energy is the same, but it has evolved from a small DC battery to the present computer technology. So, the energy that is current or electricity has evolved into various manifestations, into various levels of consciousness. That is why I am using both these words together, consciousness energy. So you should know your consciousness energies and the relationships. One energy is the mother energy, one energy is the sister energy, one energy is the friend energy, one energy is the enemy energy, so on and so forth. Then, when we do these two things, suddenly we come to a barrier. How to evolve? How to break open the natural evolutionary growth in which we are sure to become supermen in a few crores of years of time? How to achieve it in one lifetime? That is where the gurus come in. And all the gurus in the world are very sure about the first basic principle, that is Svadendriyamu Jananendriyamunanu Purtiga Adipulo Unchukunna Vyaktiki Namaskaramu. I bow down to that great man, Parampuja Gurudev Sri Ram Sharma Acharya, who showed us the way of how to control the tongue and the sex. And now here also there is a lot of confusion. Some people stop taking onions, some people stop taking meat. And many times I have been said that many pandits stop them from doing Gayatri because they are meat eaters. They take drinks. They smoke cigarettes and gutkhas. So they are not supposed to take initiation to Gayatri. They forget that when Guruji says and showed us the way to evolve and control the tongue and the sex, we are not talking about the physical aspects of the tongue and the taste, but the response that these physical organs respond to certain types of conscious images. And now this becomes very peculiar, but explaining it is very difficult. But the best book I have read about the control of tongue and taste is in the books of Jwalaku. He has written a wonderful treatise about the control of cosmic energy. In that more than 1000 page book, he has very clearly mentioned what is meant by the actual control of the tongue and the sex And I have seen many people lifting their tongue and putting it on the upper roof and saying it as the Khechari Mudra. Of course it is Khechari Mudra, but you should understand Mudra is a symbolic, figurative gesture of your state of mind. The gesture is no doubt indicates the state of mind, but just by keeping the gesture you need not go and you may not go to the state of mind. For example, any man in the world can give Abhaya Mudra. All of you know the Abhaya Mudra, many of the gods, especially Venkateshwara Swami gives the Abhaya Mudra. But do you have the energy consciousness to give the Abhaya Mudra? Can we give anybody the assurance, fear not, I am here? Then Satya Sai or Siddhi Sai say, why fear and I am here? Even they do not give the Abhaya Mudra, they give the Abhaya. You know what I mean by Abhaya? Fearlessness. Don't fear, I am here. But when I put my hand out, it may be just saying goodbye. I can't take your responsibility. So, the Swadendriya and the Janendriya follow some gestures, but the gesture must be followed by a flow of energy consciousness, and that flow of energy consciousness, how to be done, has been beautifully given by Pujya Gurudev Vangmay, Jivan Devata Ka Sadhana, of more than 1000 page book. But if you are really interested, 100 pages of those have been summarized very briefly and beautifully by Pujya Gurudev himself in one of his two books of Kranti Dharmi Sahitya, Jivan Sadhana Ka Swarnim Sutra, the golden principles of practicing the life principle, and then Jivan Sadhana Ka Aradhana. How to utilize in society the divine energy that you have understood. And remember that the Swadendriya is the Karmendriya of the Sexendriya. There is very interesting coordination, if you can understand, and how the union and right and left principles occur there. But that is something which you have to read and understand with a capable, practically practiced sadhaka, not theory. And now, the fourth one. Svadhyayame vyasanamuga galavaniki namaskaram. Vyasana is generally connotated as something, as a bad habit, of which you cannot come out. So I know many people who are ready to stop smoking from tomorrow, but not from now. So what you want to do tomorrow is a vyasana. You understand what I am meaning? You have to do it now. You have to practice it now. And it should become your habit for future. And what bad habit you are supposed to acquire? A vyasana? Reading. Reading what? An engineering student, if he reads engineering books, he succeeds. If a medical student reads medical books, he succeeds. He gets that knowledge. So in Swadhyaya, what you should read is exactly the books written by your idol, whom you are concentrating to become like. If you want to become a doctor, you should have a noble doctor as your idol. Similarly, we are forming the greatest idol in spiritualism that is possible in this present day world, Parampuja Gurudeva as the idol, and therefore the books we have to read are mainly the books he has written or recommended, and he recommends that you read these 20 books. You will understand all the things I have written. And so this is the basic chakra, the basic cycle which we have to complete every day. You should be initiated by someone who loves the world. Instead of Madan Mohan Malviya, we can give a generic name, Vishwamitra. And then, when you understand this Gayatri, Om Bhurbhasuva Tatsavkiruvarinyam Bhargo Devasyadhine Dhiyoyona Prachodayar, you are supposed to know the life and life and life after relationship with you and others. Many, many people ask me, how am I to know the relationship? A relationship, as you know, is mainly based on emotion. All relationships are emotional relationships. The relationship between a friend and a friend, the emotion is friendship. The relationship between a son and a mother, the relationship is motherly love. The relationship between a brother and a brother is the emotion brotherly love. When I am using these words, you find that love is common to all. So this common love, if you can understand, you can understand the relationships with anyone in the world, with anyone in the world. That is why Siddhi Sai was able to understand the relationship between a frog and a snake, even though in the previous generations, previous births, they were human beings. So this multifaceted personality, we have to read and understand love in its fullest aspect. And everyone says love is God, but they forget that because God is all-pervading, love is also all-pervading. So when you come to people who synchronize their love vibrations, when they have a synchronicity of love vibrations, they become nearer. And that love may be expressed in many, many, many ways. And I have already told you about the Jwala Kul books. And I have already told you about how to study. So study, control of thing and sex. And mind you, we are not talking about the physical aspects of it. One Puranic story beautifully expresses this. Lord Krishna sends someone to Durvasa and says that Yamuna, which is flooded at that time, will give you way when you say the Brahmachari Krishna is asking you the way. And he was sending Durvasa a lot of eatables. And Durvasa ate all those things. And when the servants wanted to go back to the other shore of the Yamuna, he said, you ask him, the Nityopavasi, one who eternally fasts, that Durvasa is asking for the way. So this is what you have to understand when I am trying to tell you about the consciousness aspects of Svadhyendriya and Janendriya. So these four steps will give you the foundation for the Muladhara Chakra, and in the same way you analyze every sentence and try to understand to make it a consciousness energy. It should be the energy which drives you. Potential energy is not enough. You should also have the kinetic energy which shows that it is working. Jai Gurudev.